me to the book of Colossians. We're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Colossians 3, 1 through 17. We've been going through the book of Colossians together, and I think we're going to be done within the next couple of weeks. This letter that Apostle Paul wrote to the church in the city of Colossae, really this letter of instruction and encouragement, of painting this picture of what it means to be mature, what it means to be bold in our pursuit of Christ. And specifically from last week, if you remember, we talked about how we need to continue to be rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Paul warned the Colossians, as well as us as well, so that we are not being planted in what we do or what we know, which is called legalism, or we are not being planted in our spiritual experiences, which is mysticism, or we're not being planted even in the things that we don't do or stay away from, which is asceticism. But he reminds us that only as we hold on to and cling on to Christ that we will grow into this spiritual maturity, so that it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about what God has done for us, and it's not about what we are able to do for ourselves. And in today's passage, Paul continues on that theme, and he flushes that out for us a little bit, and he allows us to really think about, practically speaking, what does this mean, and how does this look in our lives? What does it mean for us to be planted in the gospel? What happens to our lives when the gospel of grace takes a hold and it begins to challenge us so that we live for Christ? And I just want to say that these verses that we're going to be going over, that it's not easy. Because I think it confronts us with the reality of what happens to our lives when the truth of God begins to invade our hearts. And they're not easy because it really challenges us to think about the difference that Christ makes for our lives. But really, it's Paul's heart that as he is communicating these words to the Colossians, that he wants to challenge them and remind them the reality of who Christ is, because he loves them. And so not only does he love them, but he is wanting to communicate God's love for them as well. And so I pray that it will be through that lens of God's love for us that we will be able to listen and submit ourselves under the word of God this afternoon, okay? So with that in mind, let's go ahead and read this together. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 17. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 17. This is the word of God. It says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, the covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So the one thing that I want to challenge us with simply is this, that following Jesus, that it has to make a difference. That following Jesus actually makes a difference in our lives. That following Jesus makes a difference in our lives. So I know that there's a lot in here, and I know that there are a lot of things that Paul is saying in terms of what he wants us to do and what he wants us to stay away from. But I don't want this talk to be about that, right? As Christ followers, this is what we need to avoid versus this is what we need to do more of. And so I was thinking about sharing these verses and maybe God's heart for us of the specific things that he wants to communicate to us and really challenge us with. And as I was thinking about these verses and I was praying for our time together, I just really feel like there are two challenges that God wants to bring for us, okay? So here are the two challenges that I believe that God wants to speak to us through these passages. So the first challenge is simply this, to learn to stand on God's truth, that we have to learn to stand on God's truth. And not only that, the second challenge is that as we are learning to stand on God's truth, that we have to step out in obedience. The second challenge is simply that we have to step out in obedience, okay? So let's talk about this together, standing on God's truth, okay? So when you think about these verses, there are specific truths that Paul is speaking to the Colossians about. And so if you remember the things that he was saying before, right? Because the focus has been what? That you have to be planted firm in the gospel. That it's not about what you do. It's not about what you know. It's not even about what you experience. But it's about what Christ has done for you. And so he's elaborating that thought of now, what does that look like? Because when you think about it, sooner or later, right? We're going to have to get to that place where we think about, okay, practically speaking, what does it mean for me? And how does it look in terms of me trying to live out this faith? Engaging in the ordinary things of life, like going to school or going to work or going out after work and interacting with my coworkers or whatever it may be, the things that I'm aiming for, like what difference does Christ make in these areas of my life? And I believe that it's these truths that Paul is wanting to communicate, to remind people that this is what it means for us to be planted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. First of all, he reminds us in verse 1 that we have been raised with Christ. And I believe that these are the simple truth that we have to. First of all, I think these are really good verses for you to memorize, right? And not only that, but these are the really good verses that we have to claim into ourselves over and over again and remind ourselves that these are the truth that we need to stand on. So first he says, remember that you have been raised with Christ. What Paul is saying is this, understanding the truth of Christ's death for us, that's only half the story. And what I mean by half the story is, yes, when Jesus died for us on the cross, he has completed the work, but that's only half the story because not only did Jesus die for us on the cross for our sins, but as Dr. Wiersbe states, he says, but we also have died with him. That when Jesus went to the cross and he died for our sins, not only did Jesus die, but we ourselves have also died with him. And that's why Paul makes it very clear. He says, now, if you have been raised with Christ. So not only did we die with him, but we also have been raised to this new life. And this is the newness of life that Paul is talking about. That we experience this new life with Christ through his resurrection. The NIV translates it this way. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. But Paul is reminding us that this is our new reality. That we are the ones who have been raised with Christ to a new life. And so the first truth that we have to remind ourselves over and over again is this reality that we have been raised with Christ. Maybe some of you are thinking about this upcoming week and going home, right? It's going to be great. You're going to relax. You're going to watch the football game. You're going to have that turkey dinner. You're going to hang out with friends. But some of you, when you're thinking about going home, you know that there are circumstances and situations that are waiting for you that might not necessarily be the easiest to deal with. So how do you deal with these situations. Especially as we go into the holiday season. I mean, it's a great season, but also at the same time for many families in need, it's a tough season. Or when our families go through certain experiences, how do we deal with these realities? And Paul would say, we deal with them by reminding ourselves that we have been raised with Christ. That we have been raised with Christ. In other words, regardless of what you've gone through, that there is hope. And that hope is not based on circumstances. That hope is not based on your ability to solve that problem. But that hope is based on the fact that Christ has risen. And not only has Christ risen, but now you have been raised with Christ. Turn to your neighbor and let them know you have been raised with Christ. And not only have we been raised with Christ, the second truth that Paul reminds us is simply this, that we have died and our lives are hidden with Christ. He says that in verse 3. He says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. A life that is raised to Christ is a life that understands that we have died to our life before Christ. And now as we live our lives are hidden with Christ. It is a life that is now in Christ. That's how Paul would describe it. That when you live your life, when you go to class, it's not just about going to class, but it's about going to class as someone who is in Christ. That as you are building that relationship with that person who don't know Christ, it's not just about being nice, but it's about reaching out because you are a person who is now in Christ. And so think about the implications, and there are so many more verses than this, but I want to pick out some verses that reminds us this life and what it looks like that we are now in Christ and what this means. 2 Corinthians 1:9. It says, he gave us grace in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Right? Think about what the Word of God is saying. That in Christ that we were given grace before the world was created. That in other words, the grace of God is not dependent on who you are and what you've done. Just think about this. I mean, for me, it just like blows my mind to think about that before I was even created, that God would choose to share his grace with me. Ephesians 1:4 tells us God chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world. That in Christ that you were chosen by God before creation. Romans 8:38-39 tells us this, that I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That in Christ, you are loved by God in this inseparable love. That nothing that you can do will separate you from the love of God that is in Christ. That you can walk in assurance of the Father's affections for you. That Ephesians 1:7, it tells us, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. That if you are in Christ, that you are redeemed and that you are forgiven of your sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, for our sake, God made Christ to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That in Christ, that you are justified before God. And in fact, he gives you his own righteousness. And so that your life is now defined by not what you did right and wrong this morning when you woke up. But it's now defined by God's righteousness in you. 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us all the promises of Father find their yes in Christ. That in Christ, all the promises of God are yes for you. Philippians 4:19 tells us, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That in Christ, everything you really need will be supplied to you. Paul reminds us that you have died and our lives are hidden with Christ. that in Christ you experience forgiveness. In Christ you experience restoration. In Christ you experience the Father's faithfulness. In Christ you can claim his blessings. In Christ you know that God is for you, not against you. In Christ you can be a certain and sure of God's love for you. That you have died and your lives are hidden with Christ. Whenever I think about this phrase, that you have died and your lives are hidden with Christ, you know what this brings to your hearts? Maybe not to your hearts, I hope to your hearts, but to me, when I think about this phrase and what this brings to my heart, it brings a sense of confidence. And with that confidence, it brings a sense of peace. Because I know that there is a Father who is for me. That there is a Father who is strong enough to be able to meet every need that comes into my life. That's what happens to a child, right? When the child is in the presence of their mom and dad, and when they are able to see their mom and dad, then what happens to that child is what? There is a sense of confidence. And sometimes maybe it's because that child doesn't know as much as that child should know. But there is a sense of confidence that comes. Why? Because mom and dad is there. And I know that mom and dad, that they're going to protect me. I know that mom and dad, that they're going to be able to provide for me. And I think what Paul is reminding us is that it's not this foolish understanding as a child, but it's this confident understanding and knowing what it means to be in Christ. That we have died and our lives are hidden with Christ. And not only that, but the last truth that Paul challenges us to stand on is simply that we will appear with Christ in glory. That we will appear with Christ in glory. Turn to your neighbor and let them know, you will someday appear with Christ in glory. Some of you are thinking, oh my Lord, is that really true, right? Yes, it is. Paul says when Jesus comes back, this is the future that we can cling on to. And this future is that we will also appear with Christ in glory. And it's this future that breeds hope into our present circumstance. And so Paul reminds us, this is your reality. That you have died to your old life. That you have been raised with Christ to this new life. And now you are in Christ. And someday that you will appear with Christ in glory. So what does that mean? It means that at times, is life going to be tough? Yes. Will there be sorrow? Yes. But you also know that regardless of what we go through in life, that you can have this assurance that someday that you will appear with Christ in glory. And yes, even though you might have to struggle for the next 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years of your life here on earth, but you know that for all of eternity that we're going to be with Christ. And not only are we going to be with Christ, but we will also share in his glory. Holding fast to Christ, it means that we are learning to stand on who God declares you to be. Learning to stand on who God declares you to be. And not on your circumstances and what that declares you to be. Or not on your feelings and what that declares you to be. Or not on your desires and what that declares you to be. Or not even on other people and what they declare you to be. But the Father reminds us that you have been raised with Christ. Because you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ. And where you are headed, that you will appear with Christ in glory. And so not only standing on the truth of God, but let's close with this, stepping out through obedience. Stepping out through obedience. That as we learn to stand on His truth, that we are now learning to step out through obedience. So if we are holding fast to these truths, that we have been raised with Christ, that we've died to ourselves and we have this new life in Christ, now our lives are hidden with Christ, and that someday that we will experience glory, then what does this mean? Paul says, first of all, it means that we are seeking and setting our minds on the things that are above. He says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And again, he says in verse 2, set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. In the Greek, the word seek literally means to desire or to have or to experience something. And once again, the word there, set your mind, it's one word, literally means to give serious consideration to something. Right, so this is what he's saying. He's saying that if you are truly in Christ, that if you truly believe that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, that He has died for you, that you are risen with Him, then he is saying seek, strive, contend for, and desire after the things that are above. Above being the place where Christ is. In other words, desire the things of God. And the thing that he's emphasizing there is what? Now you have to seek, that you have to desire, and you have to contend. In other words, he's saying fight. He's saying go after it. He's saying don't stop. But he's saying put all of your attention and your might and your focus towards it. It has to be a thing where it consumes you. It's really funny. Last night, my wife and I, we went out with our coworkers, and it was great. But it's been a really long time since we went to downtown Austin pretty late, right? So we're walking around. We're like, oh, this is what people do at, you know, like 10:30 at night when we're in bed, right? They're out and walking around and doing all this stuff. But I don't know, like, why we got into this conversation. Like, I was telling my wife, you know, I read this article where I was talking about this guy who he's working, but then also he's a professional athlete, and specifically he trains for doing triathlons. And because he trains for it, and because that consumes his entire life revolves around his training. And so his training goes something like, before he goes to work, he wakes up and he does one of the, either he swims or something. And then he goes to work, and during lunch, he runs. And then after that, he goes back to work, and then after he gets out of work again, he goes and he does his last set of exercises or his training. And then after that, he goes to bed like by 8:30 because he has to wake up at 4 in the morning. And with him, he says that's his entire life. So there is no option of on Friday evening, let's see, do I want to go out? No. Why? Because he has to wake up at 4 in the morning. And it's this thing that consumes his entire life, and he is focusing all of his might and energy into accomplishing this objective in front of him. And I don't know why, like, we were talking about, you know, that if we were like training for marathon, like, we wouldn't be out here doing all this. She's like, why are you telling me this? I was like, I have no idea why I'm telling you this, but I read this article some time ago, long, long time ago, and it just triggered in my mind. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here, right? That's the oomph, if you will. It's not in the Bible, right? This is my version. But that's the oomph. It's not just, well, if you have time, seek and set your mind. It's not like this casual suggestion, right? Sometimes people will drop like casual suggestions. Like sometimes you do that to others. Well, if you want to, then you can clean your room. Paul's saying, no, this is seek. Set your mind. He's saying be singular in your approach. Listen to how the Message translates this. The Message version says this. So if you're serious about loving this new resurrection life with Christ, right? So if you're serious about it, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbing with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. So this is what Paul is saying. On one hand, the reality of following Christ, it's about being planted in the work of God. It's about his grace. It's about his mercy. It's about his sovereignty. It's about his forgiveness. It's about God who is at work in us, both to will and to work his good pleasure. But on the other hand, it's about us working out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's about our responsibility to strive after, to seek for, to contend for the things of Christ. And I feel like this is Paul's encouragement to the Colossians to say, don't give up. Don't abandon your pursuit of Christ. Because it's about the work of God, but it's about your responsibility. It's about you being responsible for what you are feeding your souls and your minds daily. So Paul says, seek and set your minds on the things that are above. But not only that, number two, he says what it means to step out in obedience is put to death what is earthly. In verse 5, he says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And he gives us a list of everything that is earthly. And this is what he means by what is earthly. He says, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth, lying to one another. And he's saying, this is the way that you used to live. He's saying, this is the practice of your old self. And this is the thing. He says, okay, so in order for you to put to death these earthly things, right, you're not holding yourself up in a room where you don't have any visual influence, and you're hoping and praying and thinking that God will do that work in your heart. No, Paul says, no, stop putting it on. He says, stop putting on your old self. But he says, put on your new self. It's like me telling my kids when they say, Daddy, I'm hungry. And I tell them, well, there's the kitchen. And in the cupboard, there's the snacks. There's the stool that you can use. If you're hungry, go get it. Paul says you have to stop putting on your old self. Right? Because now this is where it gets real. This is where faith gets real. Because then it's no longer about our meditation, our singing. I mean, these are great things. Where God begins to stir up a deeper affection in our hearts for him. But as he begins to stir up that deeper affection in our hearts, Paul is saying, now you have to stop putting on your old self. In other words, there has to be a difference. That when you see a picture of yourself before you came to know Christ, and when you see a picture of yourself after you've come to know Christ, there has to be a difference. In how you hope when there are struggles. In how you rejoice in the face of adversity. There has to be a difference. He's saying putting to death. Literally, the word there in the original language means kill it. He's saying kill it. In other words, he's saying, be ruthless. Don't give it any wiggle room in your life, but go after it. And then the last truth, he says, is not only do we put to death what is earthly, but we put on the new self. We put on the new self. In verse 12, it says, put on then as God's chosen ones, and he gives us a list of what this looks like. He says, be holy, be beloved. Or excuse me, as holy and beloved, you put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. And he says, above all, that you put on love. And this is the picture of the new you. And I think it's really interesting that he says it's you that is putting on this new self. In other words, yes, God is empowering you, but at the same time, you have to put on this new self. In other words, you have to show compassion, that you have to be kind, that you have to show humility, that you have to be patient, that you have to bear with one another, that you have to forgive. And in all this, Paul is saying that we are able to step out in obedience because of what Christ has done. It's not that we're able to forgive because somehow we are more forgiving, but we're able to forgive because we have died and we have been risen again and our lives are hidden with Christ. It's not that we can put to death our earthly, fleshly desires because somehow we have more self-control, because we have stronger willpower. It's because we have died. And we no longer live, but it is Christ who lives in us. And so he reminds us, seek the things that are of God. Put to death the earthly things and put on the new self. It's the supernatural work of God that reminds us of who we are. And it's the identity that we discover in God, in Christ, that empowers us. And so it's this wonderful picture of saying, be more like Christ. It's really interesting that what Paul doesn't say is, you know what, here's a list of 10 things for you to work on, and you just pick the two. But essentially, he's saying it's all or none. You take it or leave it. And the reason why we're able to take it, step out in obedience, is because we understand who we are, who empowers us. It's the supernatural work of God that moves in our hearts that causes us to say that I want to know Christ. So how do we make this personal? Let's close with these three things. First of all, Paul says, let God's peace rule in your heart. Let God's peace rule in your heart. In other words, Paul is saying, remind yourself of who you are and what God is able to do in you. It's the peace of God that guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that as we remind ourselves of who God is, he says, secondly, let God's word dwell richly in you. Let God's word dwell richly in you. In other words, be planted in the truth of God. Be renewed by his word. Cling on to the promise of God. And then as we let the peace of God rule in our hearts, as we let God's word dwell richly in us, he ends with this. In verse 17, he says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In other words, do everything for Jesus through giving thanks. Do everything for Jesus through giving thanks. Right? I mean, that's such an incredible statement that Paul is writing. That we are able to stand firm and let nothing move us because we're able to do it for Jesus. And not only is it doing it for Jesus, but it's through thanksgiving. So let God's peace rule in your hearts. Let God's word dwell richly in you. And do everything for Jesus through thanksgiving. Let's stand together. As we stand before his presence, and as we bring our time to closure, the challenge that I want to give to us before we do the closing worship and all that is just the simple question of, what difference does Jesus make in your life? Right? What difference does Jesus make in your life? Because when you read these words, I mean, Paul is pretty forceful here, right? He doesn't beat around the bush, but he goes straight at it in terms of, this is what it looks like to know your identity in Christ. This is what it looks like to follow Christ. That means certain things you're not going to do because it's no longer going to be within your heart to say that I desire these things of the world. But these other things, where even though it might not seem natural for us to forgive those who might have hurt us, but you're going to do them because of Christ who lives in you. I think what Paul is trying to get at is this question of, what difference does Christ make in you? And what he's trying to tell the Colossians is this: that Christ has to make a greater difference than just you coming and engaging in these religious rituals. Because if you remember, that was the problem, right? The people around them thought that as long as I kept up with these rituals. So in other words, in our modern day context, what that would look like is something like, as long as I go to church every single Sunday, then how I choose to live my life Monday through Saturday, it doesn't really matter. As long as I give God what is due to Him. And what Paul says is, that is so wrong. Because it's not about what you do on Sunday. But it's about understanding how the gospel transforms your life. And it's about you in the trenches of everyday living, producing fruit. Fruit of obedience. Fruit of seeking and longing. Fruit of putting death the things of this world, and the fruit of putting on your new self. He's saying Christ has to make a difference. So when you think about it, it's not about the Colossians, but it's about Jesus and the difference that He makes in our lives. I know that all of our life groups, you guys had Thanksgiving outreach dinner last night, and I pray that it went so well, that you were able to share in that meal with your friends, that you were able to continue to invest into that relationship. But I guess the ultimate question that we have to ask ourselves is the question of, the people in our lives who don't know Christ, are they able to see that Christ makes a difference in my life? Right? More than just me going to church on Sundays. Are they able to see that Christ actually makes a difference in my life. And Paul says, that process, it begins by you learning to stand on the truth of God, that you have been raised with Christ, that you have died and your life is hidden with Christ, and that you will one day share in His glory. And as you learn to stand on His truth, that you can step out in obedience, that you can seek the things that are above, that you can kill the earthly desires in you, and that you can put on this new self. That is the gospel, that Christ transforms us through His death and resurrection. And He transforms our desires and our hearts so that even in our imperfections and even in our struggles, even as we fight our own hearts and our desires, that we can cry out and say, I want to know Christ. So does Christ in you make enough of a difference so that regardless of where you are and what you're going through, that in your heart that you can say, I want to know Christ. So, Father, we come before You this afternoon and we thank You for reminding us, God, of who You are, that it is Your truth that defines our reality. And so help us to understand, God, what it means to be planted in Christ. What it means for us to continue to cling on to Christ. And not only in our understanding, but in the way that we live out this faith, help us so that that truth and that reality, that it will be reflected in the things that we pursue after, in the things that we long for and desire, in the ways that we treat those around us. So that as we come before the gospel of Jesus Christ, that reality of who Christ is, that it will make all the difference in the world, God, for us. So that as we begin to understand who Christ is and what Christ has done, and as we begin to understand this transformation that is taking place in our hearts and in our lives, that we can say, God, from our hearts that we want to know Christ, that above all, that we want to know Christ. So that in all things, that we do it for Christ through thanksgiving. So Holy Spirit, come and help us to sink deep, God, into these truths. And help us to be established, God, in Your promises and in Your work for our lives. So we thank You and we praise You, God, for this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Yes. Amen. I'm just going to invite us, not too long, but before we close out with some songs, to pray through that for yourselves. To say, God, breathe in me a greater desire Help me to see a greater work that you are wanting to do, so that you will begin to shape and mold my life, so that I want to know Christ and that I will be Christ to the people around me. Some of you, as you're heading home for the Thanksgiving holiday season, some of your members, they're not believers. Maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your siblings. Pray that as you go home, and that as you interact with them, and that as you live out your life, this truth that you have died and now you are risen with Christ, that they will be able to see the reality of Christ in your life. That they will be able to see a life that is hidden with Christ. Pray that God will use your life to be a living testimony, so that through you, that your loved ones, your friends, your family members, that they will come to know Christ themselves, and that they will be able to experience the joy of God's forgiveness and the gift of His salvation. And so let's pray through these things for a little bit, and then after a little bit, we'll come back together and we'll sing songs to proclaim who Christ is, and we'll close out. So let's do that together, church. Let's pray a little bit, and then after that, we'll close out with some songs. Let's do that together.